The African impala is quite impressive. It can jump to a height of over 10 feet and cover a distance of greater than 30 feet. Yet, these magnificent creatures can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot wall. Their perception prevents them from jumping if they cannot see where their feet will fall. So, what is it that prevents us from living out the full potential God has given us?
We have 5 methods of perception that allow us to navigate through our lives, but God has given us as believers another sense. You and I need a 6th sense, and that is the sense of faith.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. Each of the 5 senses we were given is a beautiful gift to see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. This week, Charles Tapp reveals there is a 6th sense that God has given us that is essential to anyone who desires to live a Christ-centered life. As he shares his message, the sense of faith.
What do you think about when you hear the word sense? S-E-N-S-E. I tell you what I think about. I think about the phrase common sense. You know, when we were children, our parents would tell us, now use your common sense. Well, at least my parents would tell me that. But they never really got around to explaining to us what common sense was. And I believe the closest my mother came to it, she'd always tell me, boy, act like you got some sense. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? So I want to begin today by sharing with you a definition of common sense. Look at what it says. Common sense is what? Sound, practical judgment concerning everyday matters or a basic ability to perceive, understand, look at this, and judge in a manner that is shared by nearly all people. Now that you've seen the definition of common sense, do you have it? Better yet, do you use it? I'll tell you another thing I think of when I hear the word sense, S-E-N-S-E. I think about the 5 senses that God has given us, the sense of smell, the sense of touch, the sense of sight, the sense of hearing, and the sense of feeling, dear friends. These 5 things that God has equipped us with so that we can have a better perception of the world that is around us. For instance, it is with our eyes that we are provided with a visual sight that enables us to enjoy the beauty of the flowers that burst through in the springtime. And I tell you, I cannot wait until we're able to go out and do just that. You know I love to garden. And then there's the sense of taste that enables us to enjoy the foods that we love, even though they may not be all that good for us. And yes, there is the sense of touch, which allows us to experience a myriad of sensations from pressure to temperature to even pain and, yes, even pleasure. And I don't know how you feel, but I think I'm not going out on a limb today to say that I believe that the use of the sense of touch in particular, especially during this time of a pandemic, is the one method of perception that we've been given that is currently the most underutilized, and as I said, especially during the time of this pandemic. Think about it for a moment. Do you remember the times when we were able to just shake hands without wearing a glove? Do you remember the time that we were able to give someone a sanctified kiss and a holy hug and not be afraid that we'll come down with some dreaded disease? Can you remember a time when you weren't afraid to put your naked hand on a doorknob to open the door or to take the nozzle from a gas tank to pump gas and put it in your car. And one of the reasons why touch is so powerful, psychologists tell us, is because it is the first sense that we acquire. And babies illustrate this oh so well. If you have a small child, a baby, they're always reaching, always grabbing for something, and they just love to be touched. I believe that this is the one thing we miss most from not being able to be in church. Being able to shake hands with our brothers and sisters. Being able to give someone a hug. We missed the sense of touch. But as powerful as each of these God-given senses are, when it comes to our walk as Christians, dear friends, at times, these senses can become more of a hindrance to us than we would like to admit. And this is why God has provided us as believers with not five, but a sixth sense to anyone who desires to live a God-centered life, a Spirit-led life, and that is the sense of faith. And in my opinion, no one in Scripture better articulates this than does the Apostle Paul in his letters to the believers at Corinth. Now, there's some important things we need to note here before we look at our passage in the book of Corinth. First of all, we need to get a better understanding of this book and Paul himself. Paul had a great relationship with the believers at Corinth. As a matter of fact, Paul is the one who built this church. And for 7 years, we are told Paul worked with these young believers. But when Paul left to go start churches in other places, Paul received word that the believers there had swayed from the faith, that many had begun to reject Paul's teaching, and many had begun to reject Paul's authority. And how does Paul respond? He responded with this painful visit to try to straighten them out. First, he sent them a letter, but that didn't work. That's 1 Corinthians. Then he follows it by his quote-unquote painful visit. And as he leaves, he gets word that now the people are turning around. They're beginning, not all, but some, many, are beginning to place their faith in Christ again. So he sends them now 2 Corinthians to give them the assurance that not only is he with them, but God is with them. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as we look at verses 1 to verse 4 and look at what it says today. For we know, it says, that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have what, everybody? A building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, he says, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Don't miss that point. We'll come back to it later. Verse 3, if indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. And verse 4, for we who are in this tent, Paul says, we groan because we're being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, underline that word, but further clothed, that mortality, he says, may be swallowed up by life. Listen, what Paul is saying here is this, that he is keenly aware that as long as you and I are confined to these earthly bodies, he refers to them as tents, then not only does it mean that we will be susceptible to physical and mental pain, but that being in these physical bodies, it limits us and impedes us in our spiritual lives, in our walk with God. And the message here that is leaping from these pages is one that I believe many of us, if not all of us, can relate to, and that is that what Paul wants for himself, and I believe what he wanted for others as well, is to take hold of his glorified body. And by glorified body, Paul is talking about the body that he mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to verse 54. Look at what he says. When Christ returns, we shall all be changed. Here it is, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and what will happen? And the dead will be raised how? Incorruptible. That's the glorified body that Paul is referring to. And we shall be changed. We shall be transformed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on, what everybody? Immortality. Verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal, talking about the tense now, have put on immortality, the glorified body, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Death is what? Swallowed up in victory. And the reason Paul refers to our bodies as tense is because tense represent a structure that is temporary and not permanent, one that is susceptible to the elements. And if you're a pathfinder, you know all about that. And if you're asking what's a pathfinder, it's like the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts. And if you've ever gone camping, you know when a good wind comes, your tent can go with the wind. And in addition to our bodies having being temporary, Paul reminds us in chapter 4 that they are also susceptible to the trials and troubles that come along with these bodies that have not been glorified yet. But look at what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Paul puts these things into context. Look at what he says, being in our unglorified body. Therefore, we do not lose what? Heart. That phrase, lose heart, means being discouraged. And the word discouraged means your courage has been cut off. It has been cut away. Even though our outward man, that's the what? The tent that you and I have, is what? Perishing, yet what? The inward man is being how? Being what? Being renewed day by day. Look at verse 17. I love the language Paul uses here. I would never use these words to describe the difficult times in life, but he does. Look at what he says. For our light affliction, our light, what an adjective, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, please don't miss this, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Do you hear what Paul is saying? That yes, our bodies are temporary, but so are the trials and the pain and the anguish that we experience in these unglorified bodies. They are temporary too, says amen to that. Everybody who has arthritis should be saying amen this morning. I'm raising my hands as well. But please don't miss this. For in these verses, 2 Corinthians 5, especially in verse 4, Paul's goal here is not just to be transformed. His goal, his prayer, is not just to be changed, to be clothed with his glorified body. But if you read carefully, Paul's ultimate goal is to see Christ. And Paul recognizes that when he sees Christ, as we just showed you in 1 Corinthians 15, then he will receive his glorified body. And that's his primary reason to want to be with the Lord, to be absent from this body so that he can one day be with the Lord, and then he will have a glorified body. Now, let's just be clear here. Paul is not referring to when he dies that he'll just be translated, his spirit will go to heaven and he will be with the Lord, because he's made it clear that his transformation will not take place until Christ returns. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and verse 17. He said, "For the Lord himself will what? Descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And what will happen then? The dead in Christ will rise first." This is the same Paul now. Look at verse 17. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall what? Always be with the Lord." That's when Paul says we'll receive our glorified bodies. I know some of you are saying, "Pastor, I've never heard anything like this. I thought you went straight to heaven when you died if you were a child of God." Well, if you want to know more about what the Bible really says about death, go to our radio program website, simpletruthforlife.org. It is our gift to you, because as I always say, things have to make biblical sense to me.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Sense of Faith. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Jesus came here for you.
No matter what your skin color is.
Jesus came here for you if you're Republican, Democrat, neutral, don't know or don't care, or any political party.
Jesus came for the far left and the far right, or if you're somewhere in between.
Jesus came for the person who cut you off in traffic.
Jesus came for the homeless, the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Jesus came for love.
Love.
Jesus came for you and for all his children.
We're here to remind you of that.
WGTS 91.9.
Always encouraging.
And 88.3 on the Eastern Shore.
This is Simple Truths for Life. And this week, Charles Tapp reveals the sixth sense that God has given us that is essential to anyone who desires to live a Christ-centered life. As he concludes his message, the sense of faith.
Now, just think about this for a moment. This quote, I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. Look at what he says here. "All that is not eternal is eternally useless." What is C.S. Lewis saying? Same thing Paul is saying. Our temporary bodies that are subject to the pain and the tragedy that this world brings, they will be temporary, dear friends. And so will all the other hardships of this life. So if it's not eternal, then, friends, it is eternally useless. But let's be clear. Paul's focus in 2 Corinthians 5 is not death. I want you to understand that. He was just laying the groundwork. So then what is the focus of 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Here it is. Paul's focus is, how then should we as believers, as Christians, as disciples of Jesus Christ, follow him in these temporary corrupted bodies while we're still here on this earth? Look at what he says in 2 Corinthians 5. And let's look at verse 5 this time. We'll look at the rest in a minute. Look at what he says. "Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is" what? God. What's the very thing he's talking about? The very thing he's talking about is us receiving these glorified bodies. So we can easily say this. "Now, he who has prepared us to receive these glorified bodies is God, who also has given us" what, everybody? "A spirit as," or "the spirit," rather, "as guarantee." It is the guarantee. It is the down payment, some translations say. You know what a down payment is? A down payment is when you want to purchase something, but you only have a certain amount to give to hold it until you can fulfill the promise of paying the rest. But a down payment reveals two things, dear friends, on behalf of the one who makes that down payment. First of all, it shows us their intent. It shows us their objective. It reveals to us their purpose. But it also reveals their commitment, their dedication to the cause. So what Paul is saying here, by God giving us the guarantee, the down payment of his Holy Spirit, he is expressing his intent, his purpose for us, as well as his dedication to make sure that he follows through with his promise, that when he returns, we shall receive these glorified bodies, that we will be transformed from this present age to the age that is to come. But until then, the presence of the Holy Spirit will empower, will enable us, as Paul says in Philippians verse 2 and verse 13, to will and to do his good pleasure. In other words, how do we live a life that is uncorrupted with corrupted bodies? By the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, both to will, meaning both to have the desire, and then having the power to do. Let's look at verses 6 and 7. Still in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll let you know when we're about to move. Look at what he says. So we are always confident. Remember, we just talked about the down payment of the Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are home in the body, in our temporary tents, we are absent from the Lord, absent from our glorified bodies. For we walk by faith, not by sight. If that verse was not there, you might think that Paul's primary focus here is death or the afterlife when Christ returns. It's not. The entire focus, the main focus of 2 Corinthians 5, especially verses 1 to 7, is how do we make it from the time we're in the kingdom that already is to the kingdom that is not yet. Paul says, here it is. Walk by faith and not by sight. Please don't miss this. Paul is simply saying that the state that you and I are in our unglorified bodies, when Christ comes, we will then have those glorified bodies. But what Paul is saying here, that if you and I trust the Spirit's power, we can live a sanctified life even while we are in these tents. These tents that are subject to everything that comes with living in this present age with this present state. So in other words, Paul is saying that God here has not only provided us with five senses, he has given us a sixth sense, and that is the sense of faith. We have five methods of perception that allow us to navigate through our lives, but God has given us as believers another sense, a sense of perception, so that we can navigate through our lives as we still are confined to these temporary tents. You and I need a sixth sense, and that is the sense of faith. But what is faith? I remember when I was teaching at Tacoma Academy, one of my students, I gave an assignment one day to come up with an acronym, an acrostic for faith. So she came up with one, and I've been using it ever since. I can't remember her name. I give you credit, whoever you are. But look at this acrostic for faith. Look at what it says. Falling aimlessly into trusted hands. That's what faith is. You and I falling aimlessly into trusted hands. You remember the exercise that many teams would use for a team building exercise where one person would stand behind another and they would say, fall back and don't worry about it. I will catch you. I have never done that. I'll be the one behind to catch. I will never be the one to fall back. But dear friends, that's what living by faith is. It is what? Falling what? Aimlessly. This is a ninth grader who came up with this. Falling aimlessly into trusted hands. That's what Christian education will do for you. But what does faith look like, dear friends? Sometimes faith requires you to go somewhere that you don't even know where you're going until God reveals it to you, as in the case of Abraham. Sometimes God will cause you to walk by faith, and he has planted a dream in your heart, and even though you may be placed in prison, he has not destroyed that dream like Jacob was. Am I talking to somebody today? Walking by faith may call for you, dear friends, to possess the courage to stand up for those whose lives are being put in danger, even if it means your life may be placed in danger as well as did Esther. But that's what walking by faith is. It's not knowing where you're going. It's simply being committed to the one who is calling you to follow. When you and I fail to walk by faith, to live our lives by faith, we are demanding from God in the present time what he has reserved for us in the future. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. How many times have you and I wanted God to show himself to us? I mean, so that we could see him with our physical sight. How many times have you wanted God to speak to you? I don't mean, as some people say, well, you know, I heard the voice of God. And you got to be careful when people tell you that. But when you and I want God to give us those physical manifestations we're asking God to do for us in the present, what he has only promised to do in the future. He's not going to give us the glorified bodies. Now, that's the point Paul was making. And trust me, I would love a glorified body right now, especially after having gone through COVID. I would take it in a minute. But God says, no, 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 no. Your walk in this temporary, unglorified tent is a walk of faith and not by sight. But Paul reminds us today that God has given us just what we need to walk, to live, to navigate through this life, this corrupted world, with these corrupted bodies until he returns. He hasn't just given us five senses. He's given us a sixth sense. It is the sense of faith. Because faith, this sixth sense, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our lives have to be a walk of faith.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Sense of Faith. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on platforms like Apple Podcasts and now also on Spotify. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
Jesus said, if you abide in me and I in you, then you will have this abundant life.
Next week, we hope you can join us again as Charles Tapp shares a new message titled, To Be or Not to Be. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.